We continue looking at the big stories of 2018. And our theme for this morning's discussion, Angry Nation, Service Delivery Protests and Community Action. Joining us daily for this segment, Hafiz Ibrahim Musa. Hafiz is on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti.
I trust that you are well this morning, Hafiz. The first story that we pick up on, the Mahiken protests. That particular protest claim scalp of Premier.
Very interesting, that particular protest, Mufti. What we have of Mahiken is the capital of the Northwest province. And the main call for that particular protest was that the Premier Maumapelo must leave. But there were other factors as well. There were real service delivery grievances. There were elements of xenophobia. There were also the political angle and kinds of discontent with Super Maumapelo and different political factions within the ANC. But nonetheless, under this broad slogan of Supra must leave, this was kind of a baptism of fire for Cyril Ramaphosa. Just after he took the highest office in the land, he in fact found himself in the United Kingdom when these protests broke out. He had to cut that particular visit short, and he came down back to South Africa and to Mahiken itself to deal with the discontent that was brewing there. So on the one hand, in Mahiken, you have very serious service delivery challenges. Some of the residents who spoke at that time spoke of the bad state of schooling, the bad state of healthcare in the province, or in Mahiken particularly. You have schools they described where, you know, wiring is not done correctly. There's wires dangling from ceilings at schools, posing dangers to learners. You have children at these particular schools who actually have to go home to go to toilets because their schools do not have toilets or do not have adequate toilets. So as a result of these grievances, protests spilled over, you had burning of fuel station, the demolition of robots in the area, demolition of ATMs, even hospitals were affected where protests occurred at the entrances to hospitals. And when we found at these particular hospitals, even critical patients had to be sent home because of a potential fear to their lives. Eventually, these protests spilled over to Klerksdorp. They also spilled over to Potchefstroom a bit. And on the xenophobic angle, you had about 800 foreign businessmen who were stranded, who were driven away from their shops and their businesses, and about 1,000 shops in total were looted. This is an interview that was done while these protests were occurring, and it was done on Sabah Muslim with Mawlana Ibrahim Angamia, who himself is a resident of Mahiken.
Well, since Wednesday, strikes, rioters took to the street of Mahiken, the CBD, and also surrounding Mahiken, all entrances into Mahiken, in the villages as well. That's all surrounding villages. And then just after Zohar Salah, just after lunch around there, all the businesses were closed in Mahiken. Wednesday night, you know, it was a very tense night, especially in the villages. By Fajr Salah, in fact, when I walked into the masjid for Fajr Salah, I met a few Bangladeshi brothers who are normally not at the Fajr Salah because they are staying in the villages, and they're crying, "But please make dua for us, make dua for us, we have been looted greatly." And by that time we had word that many of the foreigners, and not only foreigners but whoever, even if it was locals, whoever had little shops and even petrol stations outside, just surrounding Mahiken, they were looted very badly.
So a lot of tension at that particular time, and obviously many people on edge, worrying if this will spill over further, if more deaths and damage will be caused. Then, obviously, when we talk about what happened in Mahikeng, there's also the political angle. You have Super Maumapelo, who seemed to be part of the so-called Premier League in the ANC, who had thrown the support behind Jacob Zuma. Now that Zuma was out, he kind of played the victim card here and saying that this was a orchestrated political conspiracy against him from the new administration of Cyril Ramaphosa. But Maumapelo himself was quite involved with the Guptas, and that also, you know, undermined trust in his leadership because of the rampant state of corruption in the province. Eventually, he was kind of pushed by the ANC National Executive Committee, I believe, and he resigned from the position of Premier of the Northwest. He remained as the head of the Provincial Executive Committee for a while. Thereafter, Job Mokoro took over as Premier of the Northwest, and subsequently the Provincial Executive Committee was disbanded, and Maumapelo was completely left or bereft of a position, although many people allege that there's a kind of fight back happening. He's trying to get back to the Provincial Executive Committee. But nonetheless, what is significant out of all of this is that there seems to have been repercussions to service delivery protests, and people saw those making certain demands, and those particular demands were met. And probably this is a sign that there is potential for accountability, and there is some kind of repercussions when people take to the streets and voice their grievances, sometimes in a violent manner, and sometimes we also see a criminal element creeping into that that kind of undermines the core demands that people are making.
Fear of the criminal element hijacking a legitimate cause. Moving on to the next issue that dominated the news for the year, the very tragic story that had emerged from Westbury, the Westbury shooting that took place, and subsequently the Westbury shooting that sparked calls for a total shutdown.
That was a big hashtag that did the rounds, total shutdown, and at the core of this is the allegation that coloureds, or people who are called coloureds in South Africa, are being excluded from the economy. They're being excluded from proper service delivery. And the main areas that were affected were definitely Westbury, where it all started, but also El Dorado Park, Annandale. And some of these protests or some of these demands also spread to the Cape. So the leaders of these particular protests have indicated that they want coloureds to have a greater share in the economy. They want the government to stop excluding them from empowerment policies such as affirmative action and black economic empowerment. And a common sentiment, Mufti, that has been expressed by these protests, but also perhaps others in the Indian community at other instances, that previously we were not white enough, but we are not black enough. That's what the protesters have been saying. But beyond the broader politics, they also talk about squalid conditions in their particular suburbs, Westbury in particular. Rampant drug abuse, there's gun crime, there's lack of police action to tackle the problems, there's joblessness amongst the youth. All of that is the broader context of discontent brewing. But what was the spark for this particular protest was when this 45-year-old mother, in very tragic circumstances, became a victim of a drive-by shooting. She is Heather Peterson, and she was returning with her child in September from school. She had his report card in hand. She was shot dead, and the child himself was injured in this particular incident. And this obviously took things to a boil. People started burning tires. Police responded, according to the residents, in a very heavy-handed way. We had the burning of Rea Vaya station, millions of rands of damage. Again, a lot of tension, and I kind of actually happened to be in that area inadvertently while this protest boiled over, and the entire street that runs past the Rahima Musa Hospital, barricaded police had stopped entry to that street for quite a distance, rocks on the road. There were community action groups patrolling the street, and huge traffic delays as a result of this. Here's one of the residents describing what happened and how police had actually shot at him on that particular day.
And they said we must put up our arms, and then we put up the arms, and we said we analyze, we don't have firearms on us. And then his word, his name is Koza, he's a captain, I don't know from which region he is, but then he said, I'll shoot this mongrels. And I said, shoot, and then he shot us. He shot me the first time and I stand still, and the second time I had to bang.
What has to be said about these particular protests is perhaps that this is a symptom of bigger things to come. We've obviously seen a lot of social discontent in the townships and other, you know, economically impoverished areas of South Africa, but the colored townships seems to be something that's spreading and might continue to boil over in the new year if demands are not met. And it has been shown that it's a well-organized effort by a group which has called itself the Gauteng Shutdown Coordination Committee, who thereafter, you know, made the calls for total shutdown over those particular days. And a spokesperson for this particular group, who also spoke to Radio Islam, Anthony Williams, said that previously there's the community working in silos, lots of protests happening in pockets, lots of small petitions being handed out, a lot of smaller committees that are fighting drug abuse, etc. They decided to bring all these groups together and to kind of make their voice heard in a coordinated fashion. And according to Mr. Williams, this is a taste of things to come. They truly want to be seen as citizens of South Africa and not always be on the margins. Some of the demands were met there. The police minister, Becky Kele, coming out to Westbury, and when he came out to that particular area, he addressed the community, and they were able to vent the frustrations with him. Enedale, for instance, called for Cyril Ramaphosa to come. He didn't come immediately, but obviously it remains to be seen, and I'm sure they're monitoring the kind of demands that they made, the kinds of demands for active policing, response to the scourge of drug abuse and gun crime. And if those are not met, then some of the ill effects of apartheid that still remain, could see this boiling over as they've promised again in 2019.
We've seen the disruption, the protests move south towards Lanesia South.
Yes, so you have Annadale, obviously, part of this particular group of a bunch of protests that occurred as part of the total shutdown, but Lanesia South itself, we had around June, I think, where we have the community patroller Imran Mohammed, who is gunned down and very tragically passes away. But the story takes an unfortunate twist after that particular cold-blooded killing. People are very angered at what they see as a lack of police integrity, and people go over to the police station in that area, protest outside the police station against police incompetence. But instead of kind of taking these demands to heed, the community or members of the community are accused of vigilantism, they're accused of vandalism, trying to defeat the ends of justice, trying to take the law into their own hands. We have five members of the community who are arrested and thereafter appear in court. Community very, very dissatisfied there that one of their own was killed, and the real issue being crime and lawlessness in the community and the ineffectiveness of the police force. But at the end of the day, they themselves have the guns or the law turning against them. That's one particular factor that featured in Lanesia South. The other factor that occurred in March and also in September and seems to be an ongoing concern, the mayor, Armin Mashaba, has also tried to put himself forward on this particular issue. That's the issue of land grabs. And the citizens on various occasions have gone out, dedicated main roads in the area. What seems to be happening is there's some plots that have not been used for quite a while, and people from outside, it's alleged from Orange Farm, etc., coming in. There are certain middlemen who are demarcating these plots and trying to sell them to third parties, and in the process, obviously, profiteering from the entire process. And residents very worried about this, very worried that the entire demographic of the area or the entire face of the area might change because of this lawlessness. And according to one resident who spoke at that particular time, this is not a case of giving land to the needy, but it's a case of giving land to the greedy.
Summed up very aptly in the way it was described by that particular resident. And talking about the land issue, then it moved even more central, the entire issue, and that resulted in the land grabs coming to Lanesia proper.
That's right, and us all centered mostly around Extension 13, a very fresh story just from the end of October, early November. Again, many reported land grabs coming up in Extension 13. There were illegal structures that were built. There were protests in that particular area. So kind of a repeat to some extent of what had occurred in Lanesia South. This time there is the allegation that it's politically orchestrated. Some of the people who seem to be quite vocal about these land grabs or building these structures on what they perceive to be vacant land were wearing EFF regalia. And some of the EFF, through their response on social media, EFF leadership seem to condone these particular protests or these particular land invasions or building of structures on land. The community mobilized, the councillors got involved, the media also got involved, and eventually the High Court issued a demolition order. And this was obviously covered in finer detail on Radio Islam in the Times, a series of tweets. If you visit our website, that capture police arriving, the Red Ants arriving, the demolition of these particular structures, the celebration of the community. I'm not sure if that, you know, signals the end of the threat of land invasions in this particular part of Lanesia or other parts of Lanesia, or that people will not attempt to build illegal structures again, but at least that brought to a close that particular chapter. But as we can discuss in future days, one of the big looming issues in South Africa, as we saw in Lanesia South as well as in Lanesia, is the issue of land, access to land, land expropriation, how this featured in Parliament. And it's certainly a big theme within our political arena and our social arena, even as we head into the next few years.
The angle that comes from this is the sentiment within the people in terms of how they've taken issues into their own hands, the anger that they've shown towards public servants, those that are there to uphold the law. And this will be very interesting to see what happens into the next year as we approach an elections. Abizab, jazakumullah khair for your time this morning. We appreciate it. We look forward to having you tomorrow morning at 8:30, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That is Hafiz Ibrahim Musa with the daily segment looking back at 2018, the big stories, angry nations, service delivery protests, and the community action that we've witnessed during the year.